Good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. And here we are online, live from Houston, Texas. Next week, we will be live from Pearland, Texas. We'll be right back in our church building. So I'm kind of excited to be sharing that with everybody this morning. Before I go into too much detail about that, I want to just make sure everybody's here. If you are, I'm getting texts already this morning from some people and some prayer requests that we want to lift up, but if you are can see this chubby old guy well this morning and you can hear me, please let me know. And while we're waiting for everybody to let me know and we watch the screen fill up and my messages fill up, we are doing communion this morning. So feel free to get your supplies for that. And we're going to do that towards the tail end of the service. But if you're with us this morning, feel free to jump in. Let me know. I kind of enjoy seeing the text and getting a chance to say howdy to everybody. Looks like we have a beautiful day out here. There's just little cotton ball clouds, but I think we have a beautiful week ahead of us. So, at least in the Houston area. I don't know where you're listening to from around the world. Here we go. Wonderful, wonderful, good. We do have people watching us from California this morning. We have people watching us from Illinois this morning. Connecticut, I know for sure. Florida, we have some Florida people. So here we go. I love it. While we're waiting for everybody to hop on, Bernice Shaver and I had the blessing of the last 2 days getting some online training with Celebrate Recovery. And we was on a summit with a church in California. And it was wonderful 2 days of training. I'm excited about this. And Bernice, I appreciate you being there and doing it also. You're going to be probably the head leader of that as we go into that, into our new building and Celebrate Recovery. And I love the cover. I don't know why I put it up, but I love the cover because it talks about the things that we're going to be helping people with: alcoholism, divorce, sexual abuse, codependency, domestic violence, drug addiction, sexual addiction, food addiction, gambling addiction. It has all of that incorporated, and we're beginning the process of getting trained on it by the people that wrote it and developed it out in California. So we're just excited about that and looking forward to what this can do for our people. And the neat thing about it is once you go through it, we found out this week that ministry leaders come out of this group because they know how important recovery is for their own life. We all have habits, hang-ups, and hurts, and so looking forward to that. Okay, wonderful. Thank you for everybody that's on. I want to, you know, I want to, Tom and Mary Scott just text me and their daughter, Debbie, that is on our program and listens every Sunday morning. Her husband had a heart attack this morning and passed away. So we want to pray for Tom and Mary Scott's daughter, Debbie. Her husband did not make it to the hospital after what they thought was a potential heart attack. I just got text from that just a few minutes ago, and Tom and Mary are making plans now. It was up in the, I believe, Chicago area of Illinois. So be praying for the Scott family and Debbie, especially, and all of Jim's family up there. I also have probably my very best, dearest friend. His dad passed away with COVID last night. Never been sick a day in his life. And got COVID a few weeks ago, and they could not bring him back to completion. So That's a prayer that I just want you to, those people that are dealing with COVID and being alone in that process, now trying to handle funeral arrangements in that environment, not being able to embrace your friends that come through the line and having to limit people. Basically, they walk through and nod with mask on, and it's just a different world. So be praying for them too. I don't have many friends outside of the church family, but this is my dearest friend's father. So just keep praying for that whole situation. I'm going to turn off. I'm going to look and see here before we open up with prayer. Thank you for everybody that has jumped on. I appreciate that. I'm going to put this on silent and we'll officially start here. I get numbers every day on COVID, and I don't know, but if you can see this is what COVID looked like early. And we start off with 181 in the Houston area. And then as you scan, it starts to grow. But look in the last few weeks as I scan over. You can see those numbers grow and grow and grow and grow. And today, I can't even get it that close to you, but today we had 2,660 new cases. What a record-breaking number again for us in Houston. And folks, I don't have the answer, but I know we can't pause life and pause church. And so when we open up with prayer, I'm going to let you know how we're going to reopen our church and get everybody that feels comfortable enough to come back and pray for this and pray against this. But let's just open up with a word of prayer. And I'm glad everybody's here with us this morning. So let's just pray, and then we'll get into God's word and give you a few announcements and then jump right in to the only thing that I know that's truth in this world is God's word. Okay, so let's pray. The Lord, just want to come to you and I thank you for the day. Lord, I just ask special blessings right now on Tom and Mary's daughter, Deb, and their family. The grief that they are experiencing right now with losing Jim, the husband of Deb. And Lord, we just want to surround that entire family with your presence. Lord, with my dear friend's father and their family, may you comfort them. May you give them strength. Lord, there's a lot of questions of why. Why? And Lord, like we talked last week in the sermon, we don't have those answers. And if we did have the answers, we wouldn't understand them. So we just need to do what your word tells us to do. Lean not on our own understanding. Lord, we need to trust in you and depend on you and ask for your strength. Lord, what's going on in our cities, in our state, in our country, in the entire world, we just continue to want to lift them up. All the confusion, all of the virus and the sickness and the death, Lord, we lift them up to you, and we just ask that you intervene and let them, may we return to our knees and look up to you. Be with us during this time. Lord, don't let decisions be made that causes more harm, but decisions be made that is based on faith, on your word, and on the common sense, Lord, that you give us. And Lord, we're just seeking your will, seeking your guidance. Be with the men of the church, some of the men that are out off to wild country and high country, Lord, and just bless them and protect them. Give them safety. Lord, we just lift everybody up that's on our prayer list that have been dealing with sickness and circulatory disorders and cancer and Lord, so many other things. We just want to lift up Gene Pritchard to you and Doris Allen to you, Lord, those saints that have been on our concern, our prayer list for a long time, and Jesse and Arlene and so many others. We just want to lift them up to you. Lay them at your feet. Give you praise in advance. And Lord, thank you for who you are. And not question how things happen, but just give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you. Don't forget that here just shortly, we're going to be taking communion this morning. So feel free to get your elements and whatever you need to do to do that as we prepare our hearts for communion. Believe it or not, I think about this, I pray about this, I contemplate this, and yes, I get every opinion from around the world what I need to do, and I want to let you know right up front, for all those people that email me and are telling me COVID is fake and a political game, I don't want any more of those emails. I'm done, okay? Don't waste your time. I'm not going to read them, okay? This is real. This is a pandemic in our world, and this is life. This is what life is going to be like, apparently, for us for a while. So we're going to have to huddle back up, make decisions that's best for everybody. Tough, yes. Luann has prayed about and thought about, and we are opening school again in a few weeks. So pray for in his steps. And in that same vein, I was thinking, how can we invite kids back into our building? Children that we cherish, treasure, and love and their parents, and keep the church closed. I couldn't do that. So a week from today, next Sunday morning, we are going to be having church again back in our building with secure measures as clean and healthy as we can do physically. And we are not going to have two services. We're going to have one. It's going to be at 10 o'clock. Sunday schools will still be in their groups that they are having right now. So ladies and gentlemen that are teaching those, continue those right on what you're doing online. And they're having great success with that. And people are being blessed with that. Matter of fact, I think they're getting people from around the community and around the state and world that's enjoying those too. So we're going to continue those. We will be right here online for all those people that are listening in California and Illinois and Florida and Texas. And, you know, we're getting people on the other side of the country or the world that's listening to our church service. We're going to be right here broadcasting live from the church building at 10 o'clock right here on BBS Radio and iHeart Radio and iTunes and all of that this goes to. It goes out to 150, I don't know how many networks, but it's out everywhere. So that'll be next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. We will ask you to wear a mask. We will have the social distancing. We will have the sanitized place as clean as we can. So we'll have the hand sanitizers and things of that order. We'll be taking temperatures, just kind of like we did first time, but we're only going to have one service, and that's at 10 o'clock. We'll see how that works for a few weeks, and then we'll play pay attention to that. Look and see what's the best and what's working. If that works well, we will just continue. So we'll see how that works. But we're going to start that next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. It won't be from my home. It'll be from God's house. And I don't want you to think I don't appreciate your comments. I do. I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate your counsel. But there's a lot of people that are affected by all of this. And as your pastor and as your friend, it's important that we don't rush into things, do things haphazardly just because of certain reasons. And apparently, this is just the way life is going to be for us for a while. I was hoping things would start trending down. This week, things are starting, it plateaued a little bit, but plateauing was at six times higher than what our numbers should be. So that's not plateauing to me. And now it's starting to spike again. So we're going to be really, really careful. So come and be part of us. If you don't feel comfortable with this, if you're in that crowd that is susceptible and should not be in groups, that should not be out in the store buying groceries with 30 other people walking up and down the aisles with you, stay at home, please. Watch us online like you are now. But if you want to come and be part of our church, we will be in it. I'll be sitting at the piano doing like we did, start off with a few hymns, and then we'll go right into God's word and probably go an hour or so to just let you know what kind of time frame. So that'll be next week, next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Live from Faith Springs Baptist Church in Pearland. So I'm looking forward to that. Also tonight on Breaking the Silence, we have a real great program. I want to take a lot of time because this is not about that. But tonight we have Welby O'Brien. She has written two awesome books. One is We Love Our POWs, and she is an excellent speaker on PTSD. And the other is Goodbye for Now, about grief. And Welby O'Brien will be the guest tonight on the program at 8 o'clock. And this will be one of the best programs that we've done in a long time. So be part of that. Next week, next Sunday night, I have Todd Waits. And Todd Waits is a one-armed piano player that lost his arm as a child, went through crisis and bullying, and plays the piano unbelievably with one hand, and is an inspiration, a God-fearing Christian, and now goes around the country speaking on how to overcome obstacles in your life, bullying as a child, and how to turn those negatives into positive. So that'll be next week. But tonight, Welby O'Brien will be there, and she'll be great. Be with us then. Okay, if you would, get your Bibles. We're going to, I think we have everybody on that's going to be on, and oh, great.
Did you see the question up?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Park in the parking lot if you need to do that for your Sunday school class. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And Kim, I wouldn't have a problem if a few of you are watching online and you do want to come into the building and go into a back classroom or something. We can do that. I have no problem with that. If you want to use our
facilities.
Yeah, and the networking system and all that, because our internet works pretty good there. So if you want to do that, I'm welcome to that. Yeah, no problem at all. No problem at all. I just didn't think it would be a good idea to have 20 people in a small room. But if you want to have a few, and we can scatter you all around too, feel free to do that.
Okay.
Okay, that'd be great. Okay. Get your Bibles if you would. You know, especially right now in what's going on in our world, life is accumulation of ups and downs, of hills, high times in our life where we're just so excited, so happy, and then valleys where everything is absolutely pulled from us. Good times, bad times, obstacles, opportunities, problems, then potentials, and we get excited on one day, and the next day we're holding our head going, oh, why is this happening to me? Why did I even get up this morning? Days of disappointment, and then days where you just want to do nothing but dance. I've been there. I do that. I play that roller coaster world a lot. And sometimes we do it to ourselves, by ourselves, sitting in a chair, and we can just, as we think about stuff, we do this. And we can put our heads and our minds into those downtimes and start focusing on those downtimes and stay there for a way longer period than what God ever intended us to be there. That's why I want you to write down a couple scriptures in Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So as you think, we become. And there's a whole process there and a whole progression that Bernice and I learned this week. But this is not about that. This was written before that, so I won't go there because sometimes when I hear other people teach, I start preaching their sermons, and I don't want to do that. I want to preach what God's given me. And then in Romans 12, so if you would turn into Romans 12, I would love for you to be there. I'm going to try to get this done short. I only have 3 points, but you know me. I'll chase a rabbit. Then I have all these windows to go, you know, right in the middle of a sermon. Oh, there goes a bird, you know. I'll try to stay on focus because that's what, that's what this sermon is about today. Focusing our minds on what we need to be focused on. When things try to distract us, when things try to come into our lives and grab our attention, how to focus back on what's important, okay? So that's where we're at today. So if you're not there, look it up. Romans 12. And I can't wait till next week when I say, when you're there, say, oh, yeah. So we get some feedback, but here we go. Romans 12, let's just start with one. We're only going to do a couple of verses. But you know this scripture. This is probably a scripture you have memorized. And we've talked about this time and time again, but it's just such awesome scripture. This isn't where we're going to land, but I want to start off with this as a prelude. Romans 12, 1 goes like this. I beseech you, or I urge you. Therefore, brethren, that means church, Christians, believers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And this is the verse I'm shooting for. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. That you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we're after. When we have good days and bad days, and then when we get in that dark day season, and we all have those. What do you do in those kind of days? How do you handle those kind of days? How do you get through those kind of problems? And that's what we're going to talk about. How to focus about, how to stay focused on and about your problems. Most of us focus on the problems. We're going to show you a different way to do it. And the Bible says it all starts by changing the way you think. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, write it down. It goes like this. And you know this verse too. This is going to be a lot of popular verses today. We are pressed on every side by troubles. We are crushed, but we are not broken. Okay? We know that scripture. We are perplexed, but we don't give up, and we will not quit. We get knocked down, but we get up again, and we keep on going. There's not a person that's successful in this world that hasn't been knocked down. But there's not a person that's successful in this world that has ever got successful while they were still down. They always got up and moved on. They always got up and took a step, even if it's a baby step towards what they needed to be doing. And that's important because we all get hit. We're all getting hit. Each one of us, I could literally open up the lines just from the people around this window, and there's thousands of other little windows around the world that's watching right now, and just say, okay, everybody tell me what kind of problems you've had, and we would be here for a week of Sundays still listening to people say, but hey, wait, Greg, I got one that'll beat that. Oh, wait, Greg, I got one that'll beat that. And it just keeps more and more because we all have those seasons. 2 Corinthians 4:18, 10 more verses down, goes like this. We set our eyes not on what we see, but what we can't see. What we see is only going to last for a short time. What we can't see will last forever. Now, there's a classic book in the Bible that we're going to find the answers to the situation. And it's a classic book on how to think. So if you would, close your Bibles, find a halfway mark and open it, and you'll be in the book of Psalms. And that's where we're going to be at for these 3 points. And we're trying to get these done in about 15 minutes, okay? So hang with me. We're going to try to sling sweat. There's 3 different Psalms from David that give us an example of 3 important keys to handling those depressing days, those defeating days, and those dark days in our life. Do we have them? Absolutely. That's why my first book, Shattered by the Darkness. My next book, turn around the right side, Overcoming the Darkness. The third book is going to be Dancing in the Darkness. We all have darkness. We all have those things in our life. So, number one, write it down. When your situation looks depressing, think about the goodness of God. Depression, I got to take a drink on this one. Drink coffee. Let me get this going. Depression in your life is always, always, always a warning light. When you get in that depression mode, folks, it's a warning light. And it's a warning light to you that you are focusing on the wrong thing. And we're going to show you in Scripture how we need to shift the focus. Okay? Shift the focus. I always believe, and we talk a lot about this on Sunday nights, a lot of people, almost every guest that we have, always talks about an attitude of gratitude. And we need to have that mindset of always finding gratitude for no matter what we're going through in life. And focus on the good things that God has done for us. God really is goodness. It's focused on goodness. But let me be clear that not everything that happens in your life is good. I'll vouch for that. You will too. There's a lot of bad things that's happening. A lot of bad things that will happen to you. We had examples this morning of bad things already that's happening to people. But God, and I mean this, is always good. Always good. God's plan for your life is always good. And God can always bring good out of bad if you'll trust in Him. He will. It may take a few weeks, a few months, a few years to see it, but He will. He will. You know, Joseph had that line in Genesis 50, and he was talking to his brothers. He said, you guys meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. Think about that. Think on his goodness. And a lot of times, especially when we don't have the answers, did we not talk about this last week? When you don't have the answers, and even if God gave you the answers, we wouldn't understand it. We'd go, well, okay, that's still not good enough. It still wouldn't satisfy us. So when we get to that point of why did God do that? Why in all the timing would God do that? I don't know, but I do know this, that God, I promise you, is a good God. A good God. He has a good plan, and he sees things that you don't see. God literally sees the beginning of time to the end of time all at one time. So how can, and I've used this illustration 20 times, I don't want to go too long, but it's like a parade. We see art, we see parades one float at a time. God sees, like I'm going out on the top of this floor here and looking down and seeing the beginning float and the ending float all at one time. He sees our life as one picture. All we do is see it frame by frame. And when I question God on one frame, he wants to remind me, Greg, I have the entire movie in my vision at one time. And you're questioning one scene? One moment? Trust me, I'm good. Trust me, I have you. Trust me, I know the ending of your life story. And trust me, I knew the first breath you was going to take and when you was going to take it. The very person that was carrying you in her womb didn't even know that. And I also know the last breath you take before you ever take it. And not even the most accomplished, awarded, and board-certified physician knows that. But Greg, I do. And I'm good. We got to think on his goodness. The one psalm that I want you to jump into on this one, when you start wondering and questioning and those days of depression are upon you, think about the goodness of God in Psalm 31:19. And it goes something like this. Psalm 31:19. How great is your goodness? You have stored it up for those who honor you, him. You do good things for those who trust you. God is a good God. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans for good, plans for a future, and hope. There's always hope. There are good plans because God is a good God. All things work together for good for those who love God. And the oldest temptation to man, the one that got Adam and Eve and gets all of us in trouble now, is the temptation to doubt God's goodness. Oh, he told us that. Told us not to touch that for our own good. But I want to tell you what. Do you do this face too? I want to tell you what. I think I know better. I'm going to question him. I'm going to not trust his goodness, and I'm going to grab that anyway and take a bite because there's something he's hiding from me. There's something he's keeping back from me. There's something that I just don't trust. And be honest with you, that's what we do. We take it into our own hands. It was so funny. He was having trouble. Baylor College of Medicine, of course, I'm there and everybody else is at home, working from home. And we had an upgrade in the middle of the night on IT, and I guess nothing worked. And one of the admins texted me and said, "Greg, IT is not working today. Internet's not working. I can't log in." And I said, "Yeah, they're having problems." And she wrote this word, this phrase, "Oh, Jesus, take the wheel." I replied back, "What in the world was you trying to do with the wheel to begin with?" And LOL, I was being facetious, a little sarcastic. Every time we say, "Oh, Jesus, take the wheel," you had no business with your hands on it to begin with. Jesus does, and we have to trust in his goodness. We have to. And I have three more pages on this, so we're not going to be able to go there. When in those times of life, when God doesn't make sense, when you can't figure it all out from that little brain of your mind and you can't understand it, and you really think it's just a senseless tragedy, and God, what in the world was you thinking? I want you to know that God is good and dwell on his goodness. In the middle of your pain, trust his goodness. And what happens when I focus on that? I thank God for him. I start praying, "Lord, you are good no matter what." Another situation, because I only got a few minutes. We've got communion here coming up. When your situation looks defeating, not the depression, we've already talked about that, focus on God's goodness. When your situation looks like it's defeating, you're not going to win, think about the greatness of God. The greatness of God. You feel like a failure. You feel like a loser. Those plans didn't work. You walk back home with your tail between your legs and you go, "Wow, what do you do with that sense of failure?" Am I the only one that deals with this? I hope there's more people raising their hands than just mine. So many times I fail. So many times I'm reminded where I fail. That's okay. That's called ministry. But thinking about the greatness of God, I have to focus on God's greatness. Psalm, there's a psalm for that, 147, verse 5. Write it down. How great God is. Psalm 147, 5. How great God is. His power is absolute. His understanding is unlimited. Stop focusing on your problem and start focusing on God's power. And that's how you get through that. Another psalm is really good. Psalm 69, verses 13 through 15. I want to find that here because I think there was more verses than what I wrote down. So I want to find that. Psalm 69, and I know, okay, we only got a few minutes. Hang with me. I hope you're still there. I'm not hearing your pages turn, but maybe it's just mine. Psalm 69, 13 through 15. Goes like this. "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy. Hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, out of the mud. Don't let me sink." You're talking about failure, talk about disappointments. "Let me deliver from those who hate me. And out of the deep waters, and let not the flood water overflow me. Let not the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me." I love that. God, the multitude of your mercy. And there's another verse I want you to write down before we go to the last one. Jeremiah 32, 27 goes like this. "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind." Is there anything? Is there anything that's too hard for me? No. You know that little simple prayer we used to pray? I remember praying as a child at my Aunt Dorothy and Uncle Ray's dinner table and lunch table when they would help raise me. God is great. God is good. You remember that? We've hit those 2 points already. When you're depressed, God is good. Thank you for his goodness. When you're defeated, God is great. Think of his greatness. That simple prayer that we recite and not think about has so much meat on the bones. And the third thing, when your situation looks dark, think about the closeness of God. I don't have time to get deep here, but there's days that's dark for you. I know there's days that's dark for me. I know I've had those days in the past, and I know I'll have those days in the future. When I hear things last night of people that I love, people that they love die, darkness kind of ebbs in, you know? Psalm 112. You can just write down 1 through 8. We'll just kind of do the highlights on it real quick. But Psalm 112, 1 through 8 is the main thing I want you to focus on. But the best part, the best of that, those verses go like this. Praise the Lord. For all who fear God and trust him are blessed beyond expression. When darkness overtakes them, light will come bursting in. A little bit farther. That's a promise, by the way. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. He doesn't fear bad news nor live in dread of what may happen. For he has settled in his mind that God will take care of him. Then Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is close. But finish the verse. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you're in darkness this morning, he hasn't left you. And I hope there's some people listening that didn't want to turn on because they didn't feel like it today because of what happened this week. Didn't want to turn on because they don't want to hear that God stuff. Because they don't. I want to let you know, God hasn't abandoned you. God hasn't left you. He is aware of exactly where you are at right now in your world. He's aware of every doubt, every fear, every dark cloud that is over your life right now. Just when you think, God, where are you in my life? He knows exactly where you are. I promise you that. He knows exactly where you are. What do you do when your heart is breaking? What do you do when there's nothing else you can do? Do you keep on trusting God? He is a good God. He is a great God. And he is a close God. He is there. Psalm 334. Don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep traveling steadily along his pathway. And in due season, he will bless you and he will honor you with every blessing. You stay in his vehicle. You don't have to drive. Let him drive, please. We mess it up. I take the wrong turns. Let him do the driving. You stay in his, though. Don't jump out and say, I'm done with this route. I want a different mode of transportation spiritually. Stay in his. He will bless you. He's close to you. And let him drive. Keep traveling steadily along his path, and in due season, he's going to honor you with those blessings. Now, we all have those questions, you know, why is it happening and all of that. We don't get those questions sometimes on this side of heaven. But I do want to let you know that there's a reminder of just how much God loves you. And the reminder is signified and symbolized in communion. Listen to these words from Ephesians 2, 4 through 8. But God's mercy is great, and he loved us very much. Though we were spiritually dead because of the things he did against God, he gave us, though we are spiritually dead because of the things we did against God, he gave us new life with Christ. You have been saved by God's grace. He did this for those in Christ Jesus, so that for all future time, he could show the very riches of his grace by giving, being kind to us in Christ Jesus. You have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourself. It was a gift from God. And then before we turn in to partake this, 1 Corinthians is the verses I always use when we pass out the crackers and the wine and the bread and the wine, the juice and the whatever you want to call it. But 1 Corinthians 11:28 says everyone should examine himself first and then eat the bread and drink from the cup. But if he does not recognize the meaning of the Lord's body, he's going to bring judgment upon himself as he eats and drinks it. So we need to enter into these few moments remembering God's goodness, greatness, and closeness, and understanding. He showed us how much he loved us by going all the way to the cross. Let's have a quick prayer and bless your sacraments that you have, mine. Let's face it. There's nothing magical in this. There's nothing. This has no potion in it. But when we pray for it, and we pray over it, there's a supernaturalness of it. God honors that prayer because we are remembering the most awesome gift that can ever be given on the face of this entire world, universe, eternity. And we're thinking about him and that one gift of his life for you. For you, take it personal. He wanted to take it personal. He took it personally for him because he died for you. Dear Lord, bless the bread that represents your body, the juice, the wine that represents your blood. But Lord, may we remember how good you are, how great that sacrifice was. And because of that sacrifice, Lord, how close we can be with you now. And Lord, the closest that we will be able to experience in eternity. I give you praise. Bless this few minutes, Lord, as we remember you. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says these words, "For I received of the Lord, which also I delivered now unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he prayed over it, he gave thanks, and then he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same manner, he also took the cup. Let's be real. I don't think he had a special cup. I don't think he had one that was set aside with a towel over. I think he used it as an example. Take this cup. Now let what is in here represent what I am fixing to do for you shortly. And if you take this, one day I will be closer to you than what I am in this room. And they were right there. They were right next to him. And who was it? John, I think, was maybe leaning into him. Almost, you know, had his head on his chest maybe. So how can that be? Because when we enter into heaven, we don't get to only experience heaven. We get to experience being inside of God's presence. It will be everywhere because of this, because of the body that was broken, because of the blood that was spilled willingly to the sacrifice of each and every one of us. That one-time perfect Lamb of God died for each of us. We get to experience his closeness now, but being in his presence inside of him, in his glory, like we can't even explain. And we try to use streets of gold and gates of pearl and being inside of him. In the same manner, he was trying to describe this. And he took the cup after they had dinner and said, "This cup is the new covenant." Some versions say the new testament, the new agreement, the new way. "It's in my blood. As often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." "For as often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." I've said this for years because I was figuring out last night, I think I've been in the ministry now 40 some years. I don't know how that works. I don't know where those years went. But I remember every year or so, I'd always say, you know, "Lord's coming soon. Lord's coming soon." We are real close. The Lord is coming soon. I have never seen, and you have never seen. We have great theologians that are sitting around going, "Wow, we don't even understand." There's never been a time in our world where we are one act from a country or God. Let's be honest, it's not going to be a country that does it. It'll be God saying, "Okay, I'm going to tap this domino and it's going to start dropping." We are that close from this world being to an end. Now is the time to give right with God. Now is the time to give it all over to him And I pray that you understand how good of a God he is. I pray that you understand that he is so great, that he is in control of every one of these things. That when I sit in the presence of doctors that are trying to figure out the vaccine for this, and they're going, "We don't understand." Of course you don't. But God does, because of his greatness. So acknowledge his goodness. Applaud his greatness. And right now, enter into his closeness like you have never entered into it before. Lord, bless this word. Bless our church. Bless each person that's listening to my voice, but more importantly, listening to your Holy Spirit through your word of what I've read of yours. Let it fall on soil that can't be taken away and blown away by the devil's winds of adversity and trials, that we allow it to now draw and dig and grow deep. And may we be so confident in you, so close to you, that no matter what this world throws at us, we will not be shaken, because we are all allowing you to take the wheel. And we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. I do want to, for those that showed up late or a few minutes behind, I do want to let you know next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, we will be at Faith Springs Baptist Church on O'Day Road at 10 o'clock. We will also be right here through the best radio station in the world, BBS Radio, with a live broadcast too. So if you're from another part of the country, join us right here. You'll get to hear us sing and praise the Lord a little bit. We're going to get right into God's Word. We enjoy all of our friends around the world that are encouraged by our program and stay with us. But that'll be next Sunday morning. And we will let you know probably in Esther's email that goes out this week. I may try to get an email out if it's not a crazy week at the office, of letting you know anything particular new that comes up. But right now we'll be there at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. Thank you for being with us. And I hope the message was something you needed. And I hope that the sacrament of the Lord's Prayer was, or the Lord's Supper was, something that was meaningful to you. And hopefully the next time we'll be able to do it together as a church body in one room. Make wise decisions when you come. Make sure you are ready for that, and you're not in that group that maybe should not be out in that. I want you safe. But God's in charge. God's in control. We're going to give him all the glory. Okay. Thank you all for being with us. We will see you next week. Be with us tonight. Welby O'Brien will be awesome. So looking forward to that this evening at 8 o'clock for Breaking the Silence. Thank you. God bless. Have an awesome week, and may you receive this blessing. God, bless those that are seeking your face. May they see your face brighter than they've ever seen it before, clearer than they've ever seen it before. Lord, those that are experiencing dark days, dark clouds, dark moments in their life just from last night and this morning, may they see you in the middle of their darkness and know that you are the source, the only source of their life. Bless them. Do you receive it? I hope you do, because I need to hear that too. God bless. Have an awesome week, and we will see you soon. God bless you.